welcome to the cock porn pop tunes.
Whatever that is, the cock porn pop tunes. Junk is.
Okay, this is a review of the new Martin Scorsese novel, or is it Martin Scorsese?
Oh yeah, I hope you've paid attention to that. It's Scorsese.
Scorsese.
Scorsese. Yeah, with
I think
the emphasis.
His editor, Thelma Shoemaker, says it's Scorsese.
Scorsese. The emphasis on each syllable.
But if you say it like that, people go, do you mean Martin Scorsese?
Yeah, I know, but that's our fault for saying it wrong all these years.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm going to carry on saying Martin Scorsese.
I think I'm going to say Scorsese. I prefer a Scorsese movie or to a Scorsese movie. I think maybe he's even changed that in his later days.
I do.
Yeah, just a sort of an affectation.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so this is Killers of the Flower Moon. It's his latest film. Obviously, his last film was The Irishman, which was actually co-financed and produced by another huge streamer, Netflix. This is co-produced by Apple TV. So whilst this is out in cinemas for a couple of weeks, most people are going to end up watching this for sure on a small screen at home streaming. This is directed by Scorsese, written by Eric Roth, based on a non-fiction book of the same name by David Gran. And the cast includes
Leonardo DiCaprio. And I don't know what the name of the woman is.
Robert De Niro.
Oh, Robert De Niro. Sorry, I thought you
Leonardo
said that.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Lily Gladstone plays, what's her name, Molly? Is it
Molly, yeah. Molly, yeah.
And Jesse Plemons is in there.
Yeah.
This rocks up a staggering 206 minutes, which is actually 3 hours, 26 minutes. That's 3.5 hours long, this film.
So I'll just say this. I never go to the toilet in the middle of a film. No, I never do. Yes, he used to, true. But I never do.
And of course, you going to the toilet is almost an entire reel.
No, luckily it was next door to it, but I thought, oh my God, came back to the cinema thinking, have I come into the wrong screen?
Entire film change. I don't want to gloss over the story, because really what's most remarkable about this film is the story,
is
the fact that it's a true story, or it's based on truth. You know, obviously, I think one of the things we almost always need to not get slavishly attached to is the idea of, did this happen like this, when you get these stories? It's, you know, the idea, the headline happened, the nature of this was awful, which is essentially a community, an Indian, Native American Indian community, on what looks like very uninteresting, arid land of no interest.
It does. Everything is explained quite well, though,
And then suddenly, like so many parts of America, so many sort of mineral-rich kind of reserves, they hit oil, and suddenly they hit upon a huge asset that floods money into their community and allows them to essentially set up a town, a community. They're wealthy, they're rich, and I thought all of that was really interesting. So it's essentially...
Well done.
That's the setup. So what were your feelings going in? Were you excited about seeing this film?
I want to say yes, but I wasn't really, because of the Irishman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not too strong a word to say I loathed the Irishman.
I really didn't like the Irishman.
No.
We're huge Scorsese fans.
We are huge Scorsese fans, but what worried me was that I thought, and I think Maddie put it into words, but he was an old man making a film about old men, and there was nothing that it was saying that was talking to me at all.
Mm.
That was in that film. And so there was a slight worry about it, although I'd seen about 3 trailers, and each time I saw a trailer, it looked better and better.
So were you going to see it more for Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe, than it being a Scorsese film?
In a way, that was as big, because I'm very much, you know, one of these people, they kept saying in the press, didn't they, that it's the first time they've been together since A Boy's Story.
Mm.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was a callow youth then, wasn't he?
Callow youth.
And... So it was a bit seeing them, how they would get themselves together.
I was surprised by how sort of perky I thought the whole thing was. I thought it started in a very sort of, you know, I mean, as most films should do, they start quite edited, they're trying to draw you in, they're trying to grab you, pull you in. You know, they had the old sort of newsreel kind of silent cinema kind of titles, intertitles. We had footage of Native American Indian as the landowners and as the wealthy and as the ones in control. And so all of that I found really kind of disorientating in a good way. I was like, oh wow, this is, oh God, wow, I never even, oh right, okay, this is very different.
Yeah, because he's never even touched anything like that before.
No,
he?
And also one of the weird things, one of the backstories or one of the sort of production stories or side stories that's coming through the press with this is that they, you know, he made it and then he felt he'd made it too much from the white perspective, and so he had to go back into it and make it from the Native American perspective.
I mean, when you say perky, I'm wondering if you mean the same. I mean, I would say that it starts at the gallop and carries on galloping.
When
you see, it starts with Leonardo being on a train going somewhere, and he's come from a war, And from that moment, I felt it galloped along.
It grabbed me, it pulled me in, it drew me in. And I felt like you, I think, for the first 5 minutes, I was thinking, oh, we're back in the hands of Scorsese. Even Robert De Niro, who is a drawer in this film, was a huge problem, I thought, with The Irishman. I mean, I just think the old menness of it. I do too.
I did too, and I adore him. Mm. I mean, I think he's good in everything, except that.
Right. Okay, well, let's cut to the chase. So this essentially is a film about the way in which white men, well, principally, yeah, white men, the white community, inveigle their way into the wealthy oil reserve owning Native American Indian tribes in this area. By doing so, by marrying into the women, by marrying women, by getting into the families, they can then obviously get their names onto the deeds, and they can start to kind of have a call on the land, the oil, the value of everything.
Yeah. What I didn't know, and presumably the film says this, but I didn't actually hear them say it at any point. I mean, it makes it clear as the film goes on, is that the Indians, even if it was their land, they couldn't do anything unless they had a white signature.
Yeah, I didn't feel it made it clear enough. I think what essentially is at stake here is, although it's owned by the Indians and they reap the rewards of the land, it's still ultimately, it seems, owned by the American government. And any sort of issues, they have to kind of go up to Washington and sort that shit out. But it is a whole film. It's about ownership. This film is all about ownership. It's about land ownership. It's about mineral assets ownership. It's about white man in a very sinister fashion. Essentially overwhelming a Native American Indian community through marriage. I mean, this is something that I found really surprising about the film. I suppose, you know, the trailer leads you to think I was going to get a sort of Gangs of New York type thing, which you get a little bit of. I was getting this sense of, oh, it's going to be all of the kind of Machiavellian stuff that you get with Robert De Niro and all this kind of stuff, Howard the White Man. But I wasn't actually expecting it to be it is violent, don't get me wrong, but a sort, essentially such a non-violent form of taking ownership of the Indian land.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, don't get me wrong, it's very violent. But,
I was going to say...
But the ways in which the white community are getting into the Indian community is through marriage.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah. You don't know how big that is, do you, for quite a while?
No, I suppose you do get a montage right at the front of various people being... I mean, basically, mysterious deaths are happening all the bloody time, aren't there? People getting shot, there's a woman with a baby.
Well, in that sense, I thought it was a bit Gangs of New York.
Yeah, well, it started like that, but I suppose what I'm saying is... Yeah, I mean, I've come the wrong way around on that. I suppose it does start... So it started really crisply, then we established a lot of violence, then we established that this American Native American Indian community, lots of Native American Indians are dying and being shot in mysterious circumstances.
We don't even know at that stage it's mainly women, do we?
No, exactly. And then you sort of think, and then gradually sort of, then Leonardo comes in and he's sort of a hapless character, isn't he?
He is a really hapless substance.
So let's talk about that. Given that the premise is that essentially white men are married into Native American Indian families in order to get their hands on their land.
Yeah.
What did we think of Leonardo DiCaprio?
Now, let's talk about him.
And his teeth.
The teeth were good, weren't they? Being somebody who has got terrible teeth, excuse me. But I don't think we can talk about Leonardo. What was his name in it? Ernest?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. His character, without talking about Robert De Niro.
Right.
King's character. Right. Because he was a hapless, going nowhere, caring nothing but for drinking girls and money, as he says, on the train until he re-met, or he's obviously met him before, his uncle, he calls him, doesn't he?
But William King Hale. Or just call me...
King.
King.
And then once he met him... He still was a hapless character, but with a hot, with a sort of an amazing sort of what would you call it, presence over him, pushing him in a direction that he didn't know he was going in. I didn't know he was going in, and probably some of the audience. We assumed that the uncle, King, was a good character because Leonardo says he is, Ernest says he is, and it takes the whole film to find out that he's not.
Well. This is where I want to stop you. So, okay, so Robert De Niro's his uncle. He's brought him in. He wants him there. Because De Niro can see he's got a moldable client here.
Yeah.
You know, he's gullible, he's influential, he can manipulate him easily, and he's right. One of my issues, and I really enjoyed De Niro's performance in this. I really like Robert De Niro. And I could see that
about DiCaprio, though?
Certainly in the first scene between the two of them, where they sat down, which is actually in the trailer.
Yeah.
You could see real relish. There was such relish and comfort. And I think you were saying this earlier in the car. You could see how comfortable De Niro was with whoever was on camera, Scorsese. He was with Leonardo. There was a really kind of... And I loved that. I thought, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
But he was so clearly the villain from the get-go. And for me, this was a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
He was almost like Louis Cipher, his character in Angel Heart. I found him too obviously malevolent. Do you remember him in that?
Yeah, he played the devil.
He'd roll the egg and all that kind of stuff. And I just... And it doesn't ruin it. And I'm not saying this is a huge negative, but I knew he was the baddie and I knew that he was up to no good. And I think I wondered whether the film could have been a bit cleverer at holding him back a bit more.
Well, I sort of knew that he would be a baddie, but I didn't know he would be as big a baddie.
Spoiler.
Yeah, as big a baddie as he was.
Yeah.
So in that sense, that was a surprise to me.
But in Scorsese's defence, maybe that just wasn't what the film was about. Maybe he was quite comfortable with us knowing quite early on that maybe it wasn't that obvious to you. It was pretty obvious to me that he was not a good egg. And what I thought was much more interesting was the extent to which Leonardo DiCaprio had consciousness or not over his own malevolence.
Yeah, well, Leo malevolence. He's never malevolent.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Right.
The most he is like stupid, but he's never malevolent, would you say?
Right.
Robert De Niro is, but he isn't. I'd say that he just
goes
along.
When did you go to the loo?
Right at the end of the film.
It's interesting. I think it's the extent. You chose not to see it. I thought what was really interesting from the get-go was how gullible he was.
Yeah, but let's just say one of the things that confused me, and this is why I chose not to see it if it was being shown, was that all the things that we've said earlier were, it was underwritten by a love story, which was an actual proper love story. He clearly loved Molly. I thought that was well played, and she was amazing, I thought. And I believed that totally. And because I believed in that story, I'd sort of put De Niro over here. Clearly a bad guy and would get as much money as he liked. You could see in the first exchange with Leonardo. Mm. But not that he would be sort of like looking at the whole community and thinking dastardly things about all of them at all. I thought he was just sort of going to put the screws a bit on Leonardo, because Leonardo was an accident.
But you're saying he's not malevolent, but, and this is a spoiler alert, but in the course of the film, he shoots someone and he blows a whole house up with people in it.
Yeah, he does. He does.
And he threatens to kill other people.
He does, but that's, if it's a 4-hour film, he doesn't do that until more than halfway through.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's not happy
Well, I've talked a lot about Robert De Niro. So Leonardo DiCaprio, it's an incredibly unvain performance. He looks hideous.
I thought he looked a bit like Robert De Niro in the end. In fact, I could hardly tell.
I did find
his
teeth distracting. I thought they were a little bit too Jim Carrey obvious. Physically, and his physicality, I thought was amazing. I thought he was really in it. What I thought was odd about his character was actually a strength of the film, which was we were really encouraged, and he encouraged us to not be able to actually decide what he was.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really clever.
Well, exactly. And because
whether good or bad, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And because I believe totally in the love story, that stood up for me, and I believe that. And although you could, you know, little odd things that happened all the time, you could see that he was going to be led the wrong way.
Yeah.
And that it also...
I love that money. I love my money.
Yeah. It becomes obvious that although Molly says to him right at the beginning of the film, I think when he's giving her a lift somewhere, "Are you frightened of your uncle?" And he says, "No, he's the nicest man." He's petrified of him.
Yes.
So in that sense, we're given that, and we find out why.
Yeah. Okay, so Leonardo, I thought, was good. I thought he occupied a really odd sort of moral kind of hinterland.
Yeah,
between...
I really like that.
What I also like about that is I was getting "this will be blood."
"This will be blood."
What is it? "This will be blood."
"This will be blood."
Is that it? Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis movie. It's that idea that in the you know, the Wild West and the frontier, that morals kind of are shifting ideas, aren't they? It's about survival. It's about, you might feel something that's really sort of loving and kind of devoted, but you're also surviving. So you might kill, you might murder, you might steal. So it's those shifting. And I thought he played that really well. And you're right. I find he did, and I think the script did, and Scorsese did, a really good job of keeping me all the way through it, not fully knowing the extent to which, how culpable is he in actually killing? Does he?
That's what I mean. It becomes very blurred, but go on.
Yeah, so I didn't understand all the way through it the extent to which he was involved in trying to finish off his, because he knew what he was doing. I mean, I thought he did a very good job of making me get really frustrated with him, because on the one hand, it was like, you have to be deaf, dumb and blind to not know what it is you're being asked to do.
Yeah, but constantly, where King?
And she's dying. I mean, he must have known he was in...
Well, no, by then, he's a lost soul. He's sold his soul to the devil or whatever they say.
So we talked about Leonardo, we talked about Robert De Niro. Both very good. I think Robert De Niro was too clearly marked as the villain a bit too early for me. Leonardo did a really good job, I thought, of mining that middle ground between likeable, not likeable, evil, good, not evil, you know, amoral and all that kind of stuff. The thing that struck me about this, which is a really odd genre description, this film struck me at one point as a sort of slow motion serial killing film. I was getting a feeling from watching it, similar to that I've got from watching anything in which you watch serial killers at work. It was so sinister and evil and considered and so insidious, the way in which the Americans and the community were getting and eating away and nibbling away at the women and the men.
Yeah.
You know, right down to Robert De Niro has a Native American Indian sort of assistant who's clearly got a drink problem, and they encourage him to drink.
Melancholia.
And melancholia. You know, but they're actively nudging him, and they use two doctors to administer drugs. They're essentially drugging everyone.
Yeah, there's a
killing people. The fact that it's a true story makes it the most shocking thing I think I've ever seen. I'm still in shock.
Yeah.
That if I'd have, because it is a true story, when I watched it, I thought, this is totally unbelievable. And then I thought, fucking hell, this happened.
No, I didn't find it unbelievable at all. I mean,
but you're not horrified by it.
I was horrified, but I didn't find it unbelievable. It was the fact that King never, until about three quarters of the way through the film, he never said to Leonardo, go and kill somebody.
No, of course he didn't.
He said, go and find somebody and tell him he's got to do this. Mm. And that became more and more complicated. And to somebody like Leonardo, who, let's face it, was not too bright.
No.
He really wasn't too bright. It wasn't until we were, like, I would say at least three quarters of the way through the film that Leonardo actively became, one could say, wicked.
Mm.
Yeah. And he became, well, I'm not even going to say what his most wicked act was, but when he found out what was happening to his wife and actually contributed to it.
Lily Gladstone. His love interest.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why you bought into their romance.
Because he was being charming, and there's nobody more charming than Leo when he's being charming. And he was totally, he was running a cab service. He started talking to her. She very much sort of mothered him in a motherly way. But it seemed to me a genuine, genuine love story.
Mm.
It was very oddly told, their relationship as well, because, for instance, in the end, by the end of the film, they have many children, and we never see them growing or the fact that there are more and more children until the very end. I felt like, in some respects, long as it is, it could have been even longer if it wanted to take us through all the little bits of what was happening.
Yeah.
But no, I thought Lily was great because she cared for her sisters. I mean, the reason why I'm saying it's a true story and that's important is diabetes was what kept being said everywhere. Mm. And I'm sure that that was a huge reason, especially for Native Americans, that would kill them.
And also there's that element of a lot of Native, indigenous tribal people, like the Aboriginal, you know, that often their body's physicality, the biology hasn't been sort of structured to deal with this kind of stuff. So yeah, I found all the alcoholism interesting. I found her sisters interesting. I suppose the tug of war I had with this film all the way through it was this tug of war between this is a true story, which, let's not forget, is based on a work of non-fiction. So how much, we haven't read it, so I don't know the extent to which, you know, he might have written the work of non-fiction. How many assumptions, even in a work of non-fiction, assumptions are made and connections are done, you know, how much should we know? Apparently Lily Gladstone's character was a real character, Molly Burkhart, so she was basing her performance on, you know, first-hand testimony and evidence about this woman. One of the problems I had with the whole film, I think, was not that it didn't happen the way it happened, but that they didn't give us any interrogation or exploration or examination of the almost naive willingness of the tribes people to let these white men in. There was ostensibly very little that was attractive about any of them. And yet, you would have thought that historically, and this isn't about this not having happened, I just thought, wow, I kept being tugged back to this discrepancy between, well, they're so obviously, I mean, at what point when all your sisters are dying of unexpected slow deaths, which seem to be emerging every time they marry the same, and then one man marries all your sisters, and they're all going, there has to come a point where someone somewhere kind of goes, hang on a minute, Fred, and they kind of do, but then even in the elders' tribal meeting, they handed it all over to Robert De Niro and the other guy.
That because they're not ruled by money? The white man is ruled by money,
but
they weren't.
But they're the ones with all the money.
Well, they are, as it happens. They gifted it because the land gave it to
them. I'm not saying that...
Because it was the land...
Yeah, but you're giving the reason why it happened historically. I'm not disputing that probably is, but I think the film had some responsibility to give us some of that. Because for me, if I'm really honest, in the end, for saying Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio wanted this to end up being more of a film about the Native American Indians' perspective, experience, what have you, it became a resolutely simplistic portrait of what I thought came across as a naive, not understood culture, because I didn't buy into her relationship with him at all. It's not that they didn't play it well, but I wasn't given anything to believe. I didn't believe what she could have seen him in that one driving shot of them together. I didn't feel any sort of, I didn't feel it was particularly well written. I didn't feel there were any long years. There was a moment where the storm came and they were going to sit and there was a fidget and there was that. You're right. I felt rushed through some majorly important moments I would have liked to have seen between the two of them, and to have been told a little bit more about what she had to overcome in herself potentially to fall for this white man. And I just found that, again, this is the discrepancy. We're told this is how it happened. But I don't know, I came out of it thinking, really? Really? Like this? Or if it did happen like this, it's incumbent on the filmmakers to give us a bit more backstory.
Well, she was supposed to be sort of the unflappable one of the sisters, wasn't she? She was supposed to be the one who could sort of deal with things and explain to others.
I found it was a massive gaping hole in the film.
Well, I didn't.
A massive gaping hole that I just sort of thought, well, it's kind of bloody blindingly obvious what's going on here.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand. And if, for example, like you just said, you made a really interesting point, I think. You know, they weren't driven, they had the wealth, but they weren't driven by the values and the, if you like, say, the corruption of money.
No.
That should have been explored more. We should have had more of a sense that their value system sat outside of money, whereas actually all we were shown was that they still had nice cars, nice houses, nice what have yous.
Yeah, but in all their ceremonies, that's...
Well, there's only a ceremony at the beginning and a ceremony at the end. There's kind of one moment in the middle where there's a kind of... I
thought that was when we were supposed to feel that their lives were more to do with...
Well, when they got married, for example, you're looking at another one of her sisters who's clearly being drugged. I mean, for me, there were moments where you saw Robert De Niro literally standing behind a pole.
Yeah.
And harassed.
Yes.
Kind of looking like that. And then you'd cut to a sort of one of Molly's sisters who's like, ah.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, and all I wanted to scream at is, don't eat the sausage pie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, don't let the doctors in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, so is that's not really a criticism of the film, but I did find myself being tugged towards... not even necessarily historical discrepancies, because presumably they're not, but just historical enigmas that I would have liked a little bit more meat put on the flesh, put on the bones.
That's really interesting, because I didn't feel that. I mean, when you describe it, I can see that one could feel that.
Yeah.
And I do think Scorsese himself was having a real difficult job keeping it from being Gangs of New York, but keeping it from being that, so that we looked at it and we knew that everybody was evil. But I thought that the writing of the Leonardo character and Leonardo's performance,
Well, let me talk about Lily Gladstone. Yeah. I've got a couple of things to say. I think she's lovely, and I don't think there was anything wrong with her performance. But I have a major problem for me with this film, and it is a major problem.
Mm.
Her character was thoroughly uninteresting. She was incredibly uninteresting, and that isn't a criticism of Lily Gladstone at all. She made the most of what she was given.
Yeah.
But I couldn't deal with the straight-faced composure in every single scene, from falling in love, same composure, to nearly dying, same composure, same tone of voice, having been discovered that he'd nearly killed her, same composure. There was no narrative peaks or troughs to her, when she was dying. Apart from when she was dying, she was sweating, but she still managed, when she spoke, to talk like that in a very straight... And I found it a real problem, because whenever we return to her, and I know that, you know, a huge part of this film, this is a majorly important role, it's a majorly important character. I know she's winning lots of plaudits, and I think she delivered what was asked of her.
Absolutely, I'm sure she delivered
what was asked of her. But I think it's a problem with the character.
No, I mean, I wouldn't even... I believed in the love story.
I found
story.
Her sister fascinating.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, I tell you something awful about this film that I'm beginning to discover or feel as I think about it. I want to know what the stories were of all the people who were shot dead in the first 10 minutes. Rather than everyone else in the rest of the film.
Okay.
Like the woman with the baby in the pram. I was like, that's been emblazoned on me.
Yeah.
I was like, bloody hell. It felt like there were so many other stories going on that he could have gone down. And the one that he went down, which was a love story, where... it's not that it didn't happen again. I wasn't convinced.
There are several things to do with that. Is that I thought, and you've said it yourself, that given, I'm sure she did what she was asked to do.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's no question of that.
I mean, I guess it's
just composed. Scorsese is not good with women. He never has been.
No.
And in fact, this was a story. It's what I suspected when I went into the film, and it's what I went in for, is a push and pull between De Niro and DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And in that respect, I loved it. It's what I expected.
I think I know what we're saying.
Leonardo had to convince me that he was that stupid, because it is his stupidity rather than mendacity.
Yeah.
You're saying, how can you not think he was malevolent? I mean, clearly he was by the end, but it was stupidity that took him there. Mm. And I mean, I don't want to sort of rush ahead, but that coda at the end, and people saying all different things to him. If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. Shows how stupid he was. Mm. He believed everything. He didn't know what to do.
He was easily influenced. He was easily led. He kind of made me think of your brother in so many regards. I felt the DNA of him. No, I've had a realization. Oh. I think there were huge moments where I really enjoyed this film, and they were all where it was most like a old-fashioned Scorsese film.
Yeah.
And it was always usually around the stuff to do with De Niro or the FBI. I thought Jesse Plemons I thought he was great. I thought he was nonchalant. I thought it was fantastic. De Niro clearly enjoyed this part.
Oh, he loved it. Absolutely tore it up.
Let's pause for a moment with the scene of capital punishment.
What was that about? I mean,
have you ever seen a bat that size?
I mean, in lots of ways, I sort of thought Scorsese's given me what I expected. I did not expect that.
I love the checkered floor.
I
love the whole setup of that room. It was great. It's sort of like, what was he a member of? The Masons. It was a Masonic slap board where he slapped Leo on the arse.
And I feel Scorsese only said that to give some context to why he was hitting him with the bat.
I was curiously getting sort of Lynchian moments. So
the whole cinema at that point leant forward.
Yeah, it was a very dramatic moment.
It was.
It was a really standout
and
dramatic
And the sound
moment.
Was loud, and so it was like, you'd think if Leonardo was going to turn or be something different, it would have happened then.
I'd be curious to know whether the Native American Indian tribe, and the reason I'm not just saying the Osage count, because I know whenever I've said Osage in the past, a lot of people who are of Native American descent who've watched our reactions have said, it was a tribe that moved from Oklahoma.
Obviously,
there's a migratory aspect to all of this. And I think that almost defining the nature of the Native American Indian experience is not owning the land, but actually thriving from the land, sharing the land and living off the land. And I think that's one of the most interesting things from this film. And I am a Scorsese sort of fan. And so, you know, in my most favourable position, I'm thinking, bless him. He's wanting to drag the white man back to face our horrendous, rapacious use of this land and disregard for the fact that actually it's a beautiful land that delivers wealth that we could all share and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Lily Gladstone, every time she came on camera, I sighed.
Oh, did you? What about the bit where, even when she was playing off against De Niro? I mean, in the sense when she told him she was pregnant, that was a brilliant scene.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
He was furious, and he didn't show he was furious.
I thought
furious.
That whole scene was great. I thought his fury, you can't get too much of Robert De Niro simmering with fury.
No.
And him trying to manage his, is he going to rip their heads off?
Yeah.
My problem again there, I think, and again, this is what she was asked to do. This is not a criticism of Lily Gladstone.
Okay.
I think she wasn't given the free rein, or perhaps even the written words, to go anywhere different. So even in that scene, she delivered it in the same, and I get that must have been the character, but her monotone delivery really was grating on me because I was finding no light and shade to get in there and sort of get involved with her. I just found it kind of monotonous.
Okay, I don't even sort of in some ways disagree, although I liked her character and I liked her a lot. But I just think Scorsese's awful with women. Mm. He's just dreadful. And so she was underwritten. To go back to my original thesis, there's nothing sort of clever about this, that it was a standoff between De Niro and DiCaprio.
Yeah.
She was only there to provide sort of the main focus of what that could be, in a way. You've got to find DiCaprio attractive, though. And he was playing unattractive, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deeply. I like him for that. I love finding him a really I love a film in which you're not.
Yeah.
You can't identify or like the lead character. And I didn't like him at all the way through. And I didn't have moments, though. I had moments with like a character like Adam Sandler's and Uncut Gems where you wanted to slap him and go, actually, there's a kernel of fucking, just do this, do the right thing. But with this guy, I don't know if he ever had the right thing in him. He was too much of an opportunist. He just wanted what worked for him.
Opportunism, very, very good description of him, yeah.
It's a film of 3.5 acts, almost.
Yeah.
I found the whole kind of court stuff. I found all of the kind of lawyer stuff. I'd lost interest at this point. And I thought the two of them in that sort of highly stylized prison corridor, it felt theatrical. I was almost watching Dogsville. It didn't feel real.
Well, it didn't feel real to me, but I thought by then Scorsese had thrown his props in the air and was just making it just a standoff between the two of them. Would Leonardo fall or wouldn't he? Yeah. How scared of De Niro was he? And somehow, it's not within the realism of the story, but I can go with that.
What do you make of, so this is a spoiler, the end of the film is essentially a sort of lucky strike, as in the cigarettes. To try and give you a grab, imagine something like The Goon Show in a radio show, but on stage in front of an audience. They wrap up and tell us in sort of almost satirical form. They tie the story together as to what happened to who and what happened to them in their lives. Who was charged? Who went to prison? Who didn't go to prison? And what happened ultimately to Lily Gladstone's Molly Burkhart?
But with Scorsese doing the voiceover.
Well, he does the final lines.
The final lines. And I've thought, because I listen to a lot of these plays from America, and you have the adverts coming up all the time. Yeah. They're really irritating. But I love that. You had all the Foley people doing the thing. I just thought it was a bold... In many ways, the film... I mean, it was telling a true story, but it wasn't realistic. I mean, because he was so much more concerned with the two men. And as you say, things were being dropped. Leads were being dropped all over the place. I mean, I don't know what you felt about some of the murders, but sometimes I couldn't even see what was happening with the murders because they were so quickly got rid of. Mm. I mean, you know, when they did the autopsy of one of the women, and I thought, what is that? He wasn't interested in that, Scorsese, was he? He wasn't interested in that at all.
You see, I thought it was bold. I thought it was very sort of experimental in a sense.
That's what
was,
I mean, experimental.
But I can't help... I came out sort of slightly thinking, I kind of would have liked to have seen their stories end in a way that didn't, I wasn't, but I know what he was going for. I think what he would say he was going for was, it's the myth of storytelling, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the way in which the myth of these great, huge, terrible, we've seen the microscopic serial killing nastiness of it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes mythologized into light entertainment.
Yeah.
A story to be told. And I think in a little way, he was having a bit of a dig there at the prevalence of like true crime podcasts.
He absolutely was.
And I like all that. And so in a weird way, on the one hand, I think you've got to, only Scorsese could get away with doing an ending like this.
Yeah.
And you'd be able to go, oh, you know what, that's kind of adventurous. He's still got it in him. It's much more adventurous than most filmmakers would go. But at the same time, having invested 3.5 hours of my time to these other characters, part of me, I was kind of hoping to see, I felt almost like I'd been told to, I wasn't going to see someone before having said goodbye to
them. Really?
Now I want to say goodbye.
I mean, I don't know what's wrong with me as I get older, but I'm very, as you know, from seeing us, when we sit and watch films together, I get so emotionally invested that I hadn't shed a tear or anything. I felt all the things that I've already said, but when Scorsese said those last lines, I started to sob.
Yeah, but that's because it's Scorsese and he's old.
I know, do you think
it wasn't about the story. Like, you weren't feeling anything for the Osage tribe or the poor old Molly Burke. You weren't feeling anything for the history of America, the Native American Indian. You were just upset about Scorsese suddenly changing his surname and being really old.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's what would have moved you. And that's not where I think he would have wanted the emotion.
No, I'm sure he wouldn't.
I'd really like to, anyone here who is of a Native American Indian sort of descent, how did you feel about the representation of the Native American Indian community? Because obviously the tribes people of the area and the descendants of these tribe that's informed this film had a huge involvement apparently in the finalizing of this.
Yeah, he put in things like them speaking their language.
Yeah, and I think all those details are brilliant, and especially in a mainstream film. But I part of me was just left thinking, I mean, really need to make sense of the trust. Why was there so much trust when, let's look at the history here, there was nothing to trust about the white man in the first place.
Yeah.
If there was nothing to trust about them in the first place, why would you fall in love with a buck-toothed, relatively ugly-looking man with hair that's sort of split either side? It's not that it didn't happen, but I don't think Scorsese had a clever enough scriptwriter to go into what the light and shade of that complication would have been. I would have liked to have seen why these women felt the need to bring these men into their lives with the risks that came with them. I could have had just a little bit of backstory.
You wanted a different story.
No, I didn't. I wanted to believe the truth that he was telling us, but it's his responsibility to give us a bit more of that.
Well, no, he gave me exactly what I wanted.
But why did they let him in? Why did they trust the white men?
It doesn't matter. They would have done.
But why? That's what I want to... Surely it's the biggest... For me, it's the elephant in the room.
Isn't that just a thing about racism generally, that... Whoever's the powerful one in a relationship.
That might be the answer, absolutely. But then,
and
again,
in a way, there's an argument for saying that Scorsese didn't do the Native American any favours, because...
I totally agree, and a number of critics have said that.
Oh, did it?
A number of critics have
said
that.
Oh, okay, because if it didn't work for you on that level, on the level it worked for me at all, then he wasn't being serious.
No, that's my point. I think you do sell a cult. I do think you do a disservice to a community or a culture that you're trying to prop up and support and represent if you don't validate some of the kind of really curious decisions that were happening in the background. I think you're absolutely right. There will have been the power. The idea of the abused will go to their abuser.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, obviously not in that literal sense, but a little bit, maybe a little bit of a, maybe it would have been a scene between her and all of her sisters where they were talking. I mean, they had a moment about he's not attractive, he is attractive and that. But I just needed maybe a little bit more about, because they were actually sat at that wedding, weren't they, under the sort of parasol with one of them dying nearly.
Yeah.
And they were saying they're only here to get their money. And at that very point, Molly says, of course he wants my money. Why are you all right with that transaction?
Because she knows that it comes with the white man, that he wants money, but
What does
she loves them.
Does she, though?
She does.
Oh, well, there you go. Maybe it's the camp. Maybe they needed to rethink how they wrote her character, because I found Molly Burkhart one of the most uninteresting characters in the film, and I didn't care less.
I mean, I take your point, and I sort of thought the same thing, is that I would have gone for any of the other sisters.
Well, I wish the film had been about the girl, the mad drunk one who was pregnant or not pregnant, you're going to shoot me. I thought that scene was very powerful, but she sat on the rock, and she was kind of accepting of her fate.
The mother was thrown away as well. I don't know if it was because she was called Lizzie. I thought she was very, you know, she was very sort of picked up and dropped.
Yeah, and I'd also like to ask again, in that representation of an owl landing, for me that
felt
a bit
cliche.
Oh God,
I love that.
Yeah, I loved it, but it felt a bit. But maybe that's me just thinking. Maybe some of the archetypes around Native American Indian culture are the archetypes because that's what they are.
Didn't you think it was?
It's a beautiful owl. I mean, I love it. When I first saw it, I screamed, "Bird of prey!"
I think the audience was worried about me.
Oh, right.
It made me jump out of my skin.
Did it?
Yeah.
I think it just flagged up more questions than answers. It's like the Ku Klux Klan were in there in a sort of benevolent fashion at one point. You sort of thought, really? I think sort of, why are they all in the
that
crowd?
It was almost a joke.
It was a bit weird, though.
And also, I don't want to argue this because I enjoyed it from beginning to end. Were you bored?
No, not at all. No.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Absolutely.
And
a number of people have said they really felt the time. I didn't feel the time at all. No, I think
didn't.
It's incredibly cinematic.
Yeah.
I think it's head and shoulders
above. Oh, yes, let's talk about that.
It's head and shoulders above The Irishman, for sure. It's head and shoulders. I mean, for me, this was much more of a return to form for Scorsese.
Yeah.
And because it was so long, even the moment, if you took out all the moments between Leonardo and Lily, which it sounds ghastly when you think of all of the kind of plaudits that it's getting. It just didn't excite me. It wasn't that it wasn't important.
No.
It wasn't that it wasn't romantic. From a filmic sat there, I just wasn't kind of like, oh yeah, this is really getting me. I'm really
maybe
kind of
I can.
Into this.
Maybe the trouble with me is that I can only concentrate on one thing at a time. And during the beginning, during their courtship, I was so taken with Scorsese's filmic ability.
Yeah, it did look beautiful.
You know the way he follows people around.
Yeah.
There was one scene which I've never seen him do this before. There was a person behind a load of people, and he was focused on that person, but showing the people, and he went closer and closer and closer. I thought, that is brilliant.
He's very good at set pieces. He knows how to use a Steadicam operator, for sure.
And I think by the time he stopped doing that, because he couldn't keep doing it all the way through it, I think...
Well, the soundtrack was great. The soundtrack was lovely.
I thought
Robbie
Lily
Robertson.
And thingy were... I thought they were so in love, and that was that.
Yeah, and there's sort of grisly moments in there and all that sort of stuff, and yeah. Okay, so give us your sum up and score, Mum.
What would I give it? Even allowing for some of the things, which I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying, I bought it. And I loved the delivery between the two male actors.
I could have gone with so many more scenes of just the two of them talking.
Well, we did get quite a lot.
We did get quite a lot, but that tells you something that I could have dealt with. I could have done with even more. They were that good. I mean,
yeah,
they were that good, weren't they?
Yeah. No, I kept thinking that. But 92.
Okay. I went in really concerned about after The Irishman. When Scorsese has been great, I think he's one of the greatest filmmakers we've ever had.
Yeah, I do.
You know, his films kind of chop up, don't they, into the sort of spiritual exploration films, if you like, The Temptation of Christ, Silence, is it, all that kind of stuff, to the kind of origin stories of modern day violence, Gangs of New York, all that kind of stuff. And then you've got obviously his straightforward kind of crime stuff. And then you've got his stuff about masculinity and being men. He's very, very strong on that. He, as you rightly say, he's never been strong on women. Although I had issues with their relationship, I wasn't actually bored once.
That's
and I didn't
really
go to the toilet once.
You didn't?
No, which is something for me. It kept me gripped. I didn't feel the 3.5 hour thing that people are saying.
I didn't feel I
wanted it to be 4 1-hours on Apple instead. I thought, no, this is a long film. Sometimes, not always, it's all right to have a long film. And I thought it was epic. It could have been a bit tighter, I think. There Will Be Blood was the other film, wasn't it?
Yeah, There Will Be Blood.
I thought Leonardo DiCaprio, it's only after the event that I realised how complicated and difficult what he achieves in this film is. Because he stays in an oscillating place of me not being able to nail him to one side or the other of his intentions, nor what he knows. And I thought there's a very clever moment, big spoiler, when you do get that moment where you see for a second time the shooting of the private detective, and it's revealed he shot him.
That was
an incredibly well-placed moment, and an incredibly clever revisit of a scene. I love it when you get that, when you go back to a scene and suddenly it was revealed, because they didn't give you any more than just see him shoot him. So you were still left thinking, oh no, he's much more implicated. But then then he did a very clever thing, Scorsese, where they reined it right back again.
Yeah.
So I was ready to think, all right, he's fully in fucking De Niro's pocket doing everything.
Yeah.
And then you were told, no, actually still isn't quite.
Yeah.
Where is he at, this guy?
Yeah. Well,
and
that's
keeping us there, I thought that was very clever.
Yeah.
And I think he deserves the Oscar, for sure. Lily Gladstone, bless her, she's lovely. And yeah, but my God, I wouldn't have wanted. I mean, boring.
Some people would say she was the beating heart of the film.
Well, I'm sure that the argument would be that she's meant to be this sort of almost, I don't mean the word in a disparaging way at all, but a totemic character.
Yeah, totemic.
Sort of piece manifesting, you would argue, the sort of open-heartedness of the Native American Indian experience. But my problem with that was, I suppose fundamentally, despite all of his oscillating stuff, I just did not believe she would have been drawn to him whatsoever. And I felt no frisson between the two of them whatsoever. I mean, I didn't feel any electricity at all between them. So scores-wise, I think for the fact that I just really, really relished it all. I mean, and I've shared quite a few criticisms, but by and large, there was so much about it I did like. I'd give this 85.
Oh, not that different from me.
No.
Okay.
Tell us what you think,
guys. Tell us what you think.
And please tell us what you think, especially if you are off, because I know a number of you have watched our trailer reactions and have had a lot of stuff that you've told us about.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to have a look under some of them, because it's really interesting what you've shared with us about the origins of the tribe and the movement and the migratory aspect and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I talked again to someone else, I was sharing with someone else about this idea that the white man brought into the world the idea of owning land.
Yeah.
I could have maybe done with a little bit more kind of sort of political commentary on that, even. I wouldn't
mind some of that. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I personally thought it was, you don't often get a good epic. It was a good epic.
Yeah.
It was a good epic.